Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the rainy Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show here on WKOK and online at WKOK.com. You can email your questions if it's easier to do it that way anytime, day or night, whether you're listening to the program live or on the archive at SteveJonesShow.com. You can email your questions to Steve Jones at WKOK.com. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, get updates on what's going on, not only with Penn State, but sports in general. That's Steve Jones Show on Facebook. And Twitter is also available at Steve Jones PSU. At Steve Jones PSU is the Twitter feed. Just a couple of ways you can keep in contact with us here at the Steve Jones Show. We're going to be talking to a man you may know. He's been recently mentioned as the starting quarterback for the Penn State Nittany Lions. Steve will be chatting with him this afternoon on the program. We'll also have your questions toll-free, 800-795-9565. That's the Lenape Solar hotline, the Lenape Solar, powered by Lenape Solar, and visit them online at lenapesolar.com. Today's program is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. That's a place you want to head before the weekend starts, especially before the 4th of July weekend, if you're one of the lucky ones to have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday off, or maybe Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or what the heck, the whole week, too, to celebrate the 4th of July. Anyway, that would be either way, or any of the ways would be a good idea. And, of course, the Sunbury Motor Studio, where Steve will be momentarily. With Sunbury Motors sponsoring the studio, Sunbury Motors. You can find them on 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Again, a lot of talk about today. LeBron James finally getting his NBA championship. Does that make the move now officially okay from moving to Miami? I don't know. I think it would have been bigger if he would have done it sooner rather than later. And does this finally end all the discussion with LeBron James and said move? One of the things we could talk about this afternoon. I have one story that I would like to share with you and Steve as well, because I think this is going to be
We don't share.
Aw, that's no fun. Well, I'm going to share anyway. How do you like that?
No, it's in the company policy book.
I guess I'm going to have to read it again, huh? Is this under the Steve Jones clause? Is that what you're referring to?
No sharing.
Well, we
have a couple of very interesting stories today, and we also have an interesting guest today.
Right.
One of the stories is going to deal with that Little League situation. Another one's going to deal with a golfer being disqualified because his caddy tried to hide a club.
His or somebody else's?
His. His. Great okay. story. We have that, but the Little League story is the one that is the bizarre of all bizarros.
This has to be the one that stood out to me looking through the events of the day. Well, this actually happened 2 years ago, where a New Jersey woman was struck in the face with a baseball at a Little League game. She's mm-hmm. not suing Little League. She's not suing the league itself. She's suing the catcher, who's 11 years old.
I'm sorry, but as far as I'm concerned, there aren't enough lemonade stands in America that's going to make this one happen.
An 11-year-old being sued for more than $150,000 in damages. And the reason being is the lawsuit says assaulted and battered, severe, painful, and permanent injuries for intentional and reckless reckless throw. It's Little League. Anybody that's ever watched Little League, coached Little League, or even played Little League knows that every throw could go somewhere that you don't want it to go.
Right.
And I think if you attend a baseball game of any kind, or for that matter, any sporting event where something could happen, where a hockey game, where a puck could go into the stands, that's the risk you take by attending that game. Now, here's the thing that got me. It's not that it was an open bullpen. Now, it wasn't during the game. The catcher was actually warming up a pitcher. in a fenced-in bullpen when the woman was hit, sitting at a picnic table near that bullpen.
I will say this before we continue with this.
Okay.
She did break her orbital bone.
Yes.
That, now, I'm saying, after that, I don't agree with the lawsuit at all, but I am, but I will at least for the purpose of information. How about
right.
that?
Yes.
For the purpose of information, so we have full disclosure, so people know exactly what we're talking about, what her pain and suffering happens to be. Part of her pain and suffering happens to be that she did suffer a break of the orbital bone, and she has not been able to settle with the insurance company. Now, the next step, okay, the next step of suing the kid.
Ludicrous.
Ludicrous doesn't even begin to describe it.
I mean, it is the craziest thing I have ever heard, suing an 11-year-old who was basically made a bad throw back to the pitcher. Now, I understand if this is a fenced-in bullpen, this must have been a really bad throw. I get that.
No,
it could be.
That's not necessarily true.
No, it's not.
Okay? Because that fence could have been a waist-high fence.
Right, I understand that.
Most of those fences are waist-high fences. That's not a terrible throw.
But let's assume it was an 8-foot, 10-foot
fence.
It doesn't
matter. Why are you sitting there?
That's my point. That's where I'm leading. Even if it is an 8- or 10-foot high fence, it's not safe. It's not safe to have a picnic table
He's
there.
11. He's not good.
Right. That is exactly right. I've coached 11-year-olds. I'm happy when they get it in the vicinity of the person who they're throwing it to.
I mean,
and you've coached them too, you know.
Watch the game. You sit in certain spots. It's like when Kevin goes to drive a golf ball. I stand behind the tree.
It's the safest spot. I agree.
The other spot I pick?
The middle of the fairway?
The fairway.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Fairway.
I knew that was coming. But he did. The 11-year-old overthrew the pitcher and went out of the bullpen, and it hit the woman. Now, is it a horrible thing? Yes. Do I feel bad for pain and suffering?
Yes,
absolutely.
I do.
But not $150,000 to an 11-year-old.
And you don't sue the kid and his family. They didn't do anything wrong.
And now, here's the other side of this that I thought that was interesting, too. A spokesman for Little League has declined comment about it. Little League really isn't doing anything to help the player at all.
Zero.
Because their accident insurance only covers personnel, coaches,
right.
players, concession stand workers. It
right.
does not cover spectators. So
right.
Little League is kind of staying out of this. And unfortunately for the family, this is going to be an expensive lawsuit. Tens of thousands of dollars to put this lawsuit away. And it's already 2 years gone by. I mean, it happened 2 years ago.
Just gone into a court and had a judge look at it and go, I'm sorry, you're suing what? Who?
Now, this leads to my next question. Does this open up, let's say this goes through, all right? Let's say this happens, which would be a travesty in my mind. But let's say that this lawsuit goes through and she wins the lawsuit. Now, anytime you attend a baseball game or a hockey game or whatever, an auto race, and something happens tragic.
Well, it's on the back of the ticket. They already do that, Kevin.
I know that.
It's on the back of the ticket.
But does this open the door to not suing the promoter of the race or the event, or but the person who actually was involved in it, the batter, the hockey player, the driver?
There's no way she can win.
I hope you're right.
You can't. You put up the picture of the kid on the screen and say, this is who she's suing. At this point, the jury knows, we can't do this.
I mean, what's going to happen in this trial? Is there going to be a list of errant throws he's made this in his baseball
you
career?
You can't get blood from a stone.
Well, we have a list of every throw he's made. 8 out of 10 throws have been errant throws. Yes, he was 11. No big surprise.
You're 11. You're not good.
That's exactly right.
At almost everything.
And even the ones that are good, 1 out of every 10 is going to go somewhere where you have no clue, usually in the outfield.
There's a reason they put him down there warming up the pitcher. Not good.
And then you have a family who, as I understand it, his mom and dad have been a big proponent, a supporter of Little League and the program where they're at in New Jersey. And they've donated a lot of their time and volunteered a lot of their efforts and now have found themselves having to step away now because of the situation that's going on and getting even angry letters about things. I find that completely...
Why should they be getting angry letters? They didn't do the
Well, I don't know that the angry letters...
Back.
I'm not saying the angry letters were going to them, but they were referring to the family receiving letters, and I'm sure it was in response to the incident in general. But why are they getting them? I don't know.
I mean, what, do you think the kid woke up that day? I mean, if the kid walked up the driveway and she's standing there and he chucked the baseball at her and hit her and broke her orbital bone, well, you're darn right the lawsuit's proper.
Right.
It's also criminal. It's proper.
Was there intent?
Right. He's warming up. I mean, he didn't wake up that day saying, I'm going to go and assassinate Mrs. Long. I don't think so.
I'm going to wait for her to sit right behind the in that bench, right behind the bullpen. Yeah, I just can't imagine this is even going to court right
now. I feel bad for her. She's in the wrong spot at the wrong time. But
sure.
At the same time, you should not penalize somebody else for your personal lack of common sense. Okay? Your personal sense of lack of a common sense should not put you in a position where you're going to sue.
Now,
what are you sitting there for?
Well, you can even use the argument, why was there a picnic table there? All right, I understand that, but again, use your sense. This is Little League. Nobody knows where the ball's
going to go. I never stood
anywhere
near where a kid was doing anything.
No.
For 14 years.
Right.
I mean, the only time I ever got hit with a ball, I was throwing batting practice, and I was behind the protective screen. It was just one of those lucky things where I pitched it. I'm left-handed. I pitched it, and the kid hit it right on, and it went right into the left side of my chest because it was just barely exposed from the screen.
But you didn't sue the kid, did you?
Of course not. I told him to get back in the box, and I pretended I wasn't hurt, for goodness sakes, because I didn't want him to think I was hurt or the rest of the team.
And you didn't even throw at him.
Well, three pitches later, I made the sucker pay. You know? No, but in other words, but I had a huge welt and bruise on the left side of my chest for about a month because, I mean, he hit it on the nose. Mm. His name, he was a kid that we had that came in from Japan. His name was Yusuke Yamashita, right? He was our shortstop. Great kid. And it just turned out I'm throwing batting practice to him, the whole thing. You know, one kid after another, you just throw. And maybe you get you're trying to stay behind the screen because, I mean, he was 15 years old at the time. I mean, this was not an 11-year-old that hit the ball. It was a 15-year-old.
Yeah, you're talking senior division now. I mean, you're talking
senior division. Yeah. And I'm pitching, and, of course, you know, he probably was the ninth or tenth batter, if I remember, I'd pitched to at this point. You know, you try to get in there, hey, guys, you know, let's get 10 pitches each in there. So now I'm up to, like, pitch 90 here, you know. And, oh, I'm not kidding you.
I mean,
you know,
I know.
10 pitches run them out. And the part was you tried to throw the ball hard enough because, you know, these 15-year-olds, it's a different game than 11 and 12s. And so maybe as time went, I was getting a little looser outside of it. Like you move a quarter inch. Now, for whatever reason, you're a little more exposed because you're just trying to pick up the ball and then pitch the next one, pick up another ball in the bucket, pitch another one. And he hit it, and I would say probably 5 inches of my chest was exposed, and he hit it right in that spot. Right now, he profusely apologizes when we go back to the. I mean, I kept pitching the final three guys, bang, 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 and I freely admit I was sore as heck, but I wasn't going to let them know. I wasn't going to let them know. Right, and then I went back, and he was such a great kid. He comes up and he bows. He goes, "Mr. Jones, I'm so sorry." I said, "Yusuke," I said, "that was a great hit, man." That was a terrific.
Actually,
hit.
It sounded more like it was a great hit. No, it was a nice jump.
I said, well, his father was so – his father comes up to me when the season's over. It's a great story. He comes up to me when the season's over, and I hear my doorbell ring. I go to the doorbell, and his father's standing there with a case of Budweiser. And he says, "I want to thank you for coaching the team." I said, "I believe in America this is customary." I said, and I don't drink beer. So I sat there and went, okay. I said, thanks.
That's the best. No, I only ever had one incident. All the years of umpiring and coaching, I've only ever had one incident. And usually when you're umpiring, you're protected. But again, it's at that 11-year-old level. It was Little League. Fastball was coming. It was a pretty good 12-year-old pitcher. And the catcher just plain missed it. I mean, it was completely gone. And it hits you on the inside of the meat part of the leg. And you stand up a little bit. You walk it off a little bit. The catcher, I come back in and the catcher's like, Mr. Umpire, are you okay? You okay? I'm fine. Just give me a minute. I'll be right there. He says, take your time. Right. Take your time. I'm not going to get a pitch the rest of the game, am I?
Probably not.
I said, well, let's just say the inside corner moved a lot further in now.
Right.
But no, and to this day, he's in high school now. To this day, every time he sees me, he comes up and he goes, how's your leg? Right. Like, it's fine.
Exactly. And I mean, but this borders from the ridiculous to the sublime. The fact that a judge would actually even say, yeah, you know what? This is a good idea. Let's move forward with this. Are you kidding?
But I do see the his father's side, too, of being upset a little bit with Little League not taking any kind of a stance or making a comment on it. I would like Little League to come out and say, listen, you know, this sort of thing we don't like to talk about. We don't like to have it happen, however you want to word it. But at least acknowledge the fact that, but we do want to make people aware that when you go to these games, things like this can happen just like it could at any level of baseball. But I think the fact that Little League hasn't said anything is what kind of upsets the young man's parents. And I understand that. I agree with that. I think Little League needs to come out and say something at least about it.
They probably don't want to dignify it.
Well, and that may be the case. Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't really looked at it that way.
Look, by being an entity that gets involved in it, they now open themselves up to the possibility of other suits like this. And that's why they're in a tough spot, too. They don't want to open this up. I mean, imagine having to take out insurance where now you're paying out because 8 to 12-year-olds aren't accurate. Right?
That's three-quarters of every baseball team in Little League. The 8 and 12-year-olds that aren't accurate. Yeah. No, I didn't look at it that way, but I agree with you.
I have watched the New York Penn League the last four nights.
Sure.
There have been 11 errors in the by the spikes in four games. Now, these are guys that were the top players in their college teams. Right? Throwing the ball all over the place. There was a ground ball, the first on a drawn-in infield, Wednesday night. The first baseman fields it. There's going to be a play at the plate. You know where he threw the ball? Third of the way up the screen.
I was going to say up toward you.
Third of the way up the screen. He's a professional baseball player.
And he's getting paid, right.
Right. Now, there was a screen there, but the screen was only there because it was behind home plate.
Now, there might even be a valid point with any suit, not necessarily suing the 11-year-old, if there was no screen or anything there.
Kevin, I feel bad that she suffered pain. I feel bad that her orbital bone was broken. I feel bad that she can't settle with her own insurance company. But it's an accident.
Right.
Okay? It wasn't deliberate. It wasn't malicious. The kid didn't look over and go, I'm going to get her, and did. Right? It's an accident, and it's not malicious.
And the way the lawsuit's filed, that's what it's called. The way the lawsuit's filed, the errant throw was intentional and reckless and, quote, assaulted and battered.
Bye-bye lawsuit. I mean, you can't. I mean, a judge would have to have the common sense to throw it out. You have to. You can't keep running silly, stupid stuff like this in there. As awful as I feel for what happened to her.
Okay? Now here's the second count.
To sit near a bullpen where an 11-year-old is throwing the ball, you lack common sense. They ought to sue her for being dumb.
Here's the second count. The second count alleges that the 11-year-old's actions were negligent and careless through engaging.
He's 11.
No, wait. Here's the best part. Engaging in inappropriate physical and/or sporting activity. He's warming up a pitcher.
He's supposed to be there.
That's his job as the catcher.
What do you think? They're going to throw it to a little bounce back?
Here, I'll roll it back to you.
Oh.
And I'm glad I'm not the only one that feels this way about
this. And you know what? The attorney ought to be disbarred for wasting everybody's time.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I was hoping as I was reading this, I wasn't the only one feeling this way. But I do see what you're saying about Little League kind of staying quiet from it. But when I heard the second count on that, I just went, wow, this is even crazier than I thought it was.
I mean, through dues, okay, and so forth, you know, Little League's the entity that has some money.
Yes.
All right. Okay, they don't have a lot, but they have at least some. I think that's one of the reasons they want to stay away from this.
And that could very well be, because I've seen over the years bats go flying, you know, foul balls are another thing. You
know, they're 11.
It's all part of, I know, it's all part of the game, though, level.
I watched a 22-year-old first baseman throw the ball in a drawn-in infield a third of the way up the screen the other day.
I watched Carlos Ruiz lose the bat into the stands many times.
It happens.
Now, I remember a tragic incident years ago.
Hey, I was on the sideline at Penn State football practice 2 years ago, all right? And I was standing a yard and a half talking to Rich Motti on the defensive practice field in the end zone area. I'm near the defensive practice field, and the defense is working away from me, okay? The offense is coming toward me, and all of a sudden I hear this thud, right? Ball overthrown. Graham Zug slides, hit me. I went flying in the air, landed on my back. Happens. Wrong place, wrong time.
There was an incident a few years ago at the Bloomsburg Fair, and I'll get to this another time because we're running out of time, Steve. Sorry. It's along the same line.
Right. All right, we'll come back with more after this.
This is it. Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having the automotive event of the year. Now through Monday, every new Ford, every new Hyundai, and every new Lincoln will be discounted like never before. And every real vehicle will have Sunbury Motors' lowest price promise, which saves you up to $5,350 under Carfax recommended prices. Choose from over 25 2012 Ford Escapes that get up to 28 mpg, starting at just $19,880. And the all-new 2013 Escape is in stock for immediate delivery. The 23 mpg Ford F-150 is as low as $24,989. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is discounted up to $2,000, down to $21,495. Plus, every new vehicle from SMC comes with an extra set of tires. If you're going to be shopping for a new or pre-owned vehicle, choose from over 450 vehicles at one location, all with prices clearly marked at Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Don't miss the event of the year, now through Monday.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury has all your summer partying needs. They have beer. They have snacks. They have soda. They have water. They have beer. Brewers Outlet has a huge selection of imports and microbrews, some incredible deals, and they're a great beverage shoppable store. Fresh roasted peanuts daily, and check this out, a new Help Yourself Pickle Bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket Sunbury, wants you to enjoy the summer, and don't forget the beer.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, thanks. Welcome back to the show. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the weekend. Time to stop in at Brewers Outlet. Of course, we're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our phone lines powered by Lenape Solar. Visit them online at lenapesolar.com. And time now to bring in on our newsmaker line on the Lenape Solar Hotline, the starting quarterback for the Lions, Matt McGloin. Matt, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us. And Fitz has you guys working pretty hard at this stage. It's also a time of the year where leadership for individuals has to come out. You're one of the seniors on this team. What's it been like the way Fitzy's been running things so far?
Well, it's definitely been a challenge for us. You know, every workout has been, you know, extremely difficult and intense. You know, we're getting after it, you know, hard 4 days a week with, you know, doing some actually football work on Wednesday, which would be our 7-on-7 day. We have, you know, we're running a lot of hills. We're doing a lot of sprint work, you know, Friday, which is today, was our competition day, which, you know, we compete against you know, the other players and things like that for a point system, which we created that you know, allows you to see where you're at, and overall it makes you compete each and every day, and you know, allows you to get better. And so, but we're having a great time with it. We just finished up week six today, so we're excited for this little couple of days off that we have next week, and we'll be ready to pick things back up in a week.
There's things in the offense that you had before that worked very well for you. What are some elements in this offense that really fit you and work well for you?
Well, I feel extremely comfortable in this offense, and the reason for that is I kind of am able to make a lot of the decisions for the offense myself out there. I'm you know, it's up to the quarterback to get into the right play, to get your protection right, and to make sure everybody is exactly where they need to be. And that's something that, you know, I'm always so comfortable with. That's kind of how my high school offense was a little bit. I wasn't able to, you know, get out of a play or change to a pass or run or things like that. So I feel very comfortable with the offense. I think that's why I'm able to command the offense, and I know it well. I think that's why I was able to win it in the spring.
During the course, though, of the learning curve of this, when you go in with Rob, Paul, Shane, the other quarterbacks, give us an idea what, quote, the crash course was like before you got to the spring, and then once you were going through spring, what that part of the crash course was like.
Well, it's definitely a challenge. You know, the first few practices, you don't know where you stand, and you know, you're splitting reps with guys. You're standing back there for, you know, maybe 8-10 plays at a time. You just have to stay loose and make the most of every rep that you get, and make the most of your opportunities. And you know, this spring, which is again the reason I believe I won the job, was because all I did was just try to manage the offense and take what the defense gave me out there. I mean, maybe that's not something I've done in the past, which is why I've always been battling, but I just really felt comfortable with what we were doing. And, you know, I started to really realize I won the job right around the 9th or 10th practice. Obviously, he didn't announce it, but you get more and more comfortable with the offense, and you're just able to stop thinking about, you know, the offense, and you just start playing again.
Yeah, the playing part of it, it means it has to become second nature to you. When you get into the meeting room, what's that like as you go through various things that you had not gone through before, because you know the plays and the terminology are all different?
Absolutely, yeah. And at first, I'd be lying to you if I said my head wasn't spinning, and it seemed like, you know, Coach O'Brien and Coach Fisher were speaking a different language to me. But you know, once you start to sit down and actually, you know understand what they want to do and what they're trying to accomplish in this offense, it does become easy to you. And you know, I'm not at that point yet. You know, I've been doing a lot of work with the film work, and especially focus on my protections. That's the one thing I want to handle as of right now, and get before camp time. But once you honestly sit down and understand what he wants out of it, it becomes a very simple offense.
How many hours a day do you think you've been spending just going through it over and over and over again in your mind away from the field?
Well, the funny thing about that is, I was thinking about it the other day. We I've been good. I just started, you know, going a lot more with the offense and watching film and, you know, watching the Patriots and, you know, seeing what they're doing, and we're going to try to do the same things. But you kind of think about it all night, and you know, you're laying in bed and you're thinking about it as well, because it's something you're afraid to forget. And you know, you kind of try to stop and, you know, try to get yourself to just, you know, relax and know that trust that you're going to understand the offense and remember it. So.
You have graduated. You picked up your degree in May, which means, of course, you'll have to take graduate school courses in the fall. Have you settled yet on what you want to do with graduate school and how many credits?
Yeah, correct. I finished up in May, and I've actually decided to get another degree. I only need to take 4 classes, which would be 12 credits to get that degree. So hopefully by December, I'll have a degree number 2.
Oh, so you're going to take 12. You're going to take 12 credits.
Yes, yeah.
I'm surprised by that. Okay, because some guys take 6, and that's fine. And I was going to ask the next question of being, since you would have a quote lighter course load, will that make it easier? But it sounds like you're going to have a heavy course load during the course.
Yeah,
of the fall.
I mean, I don't mind it too much. You know, I've been balancing, you know, academics and athletics for the past 4 years here now, so I'm kind of used to it. So we figured why not, and just try to get the second degree, try to get as much as I can while I'm here.
Now, communications is the first one.
Yeah.
What's the second one going to be in?
Well, the first one was in journalism. I'm going to try to take your job one day.
you're getting closer by the minute.
But no, the second one's going to be in telecommunications, so I'm going to try to stick with communications here.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Very nice. All right, now let's get to the working with the receivers part. You've talked about the protections part. You have, for the most part, guys that you have been around before. I know that helps, but still, give us an idea of the relationship that you and the other quarterbacks have been developing with the receivers as all of you are on the same learning curve.
Right. It was tough at first in the spring. I mean, you know, those guys are learning it just as we are, and it is tough. It's, you know, guys are going to be changing their routes depending on what coverage the defense is in. It's a lot of different terminology, a lot of different words, a lot of different, you know, adjustments. If a quarterback's hot during his protection, you know, the wide receiver needs to know that he needs to adjust his route shorter so I can throw up to him hot. It's definitely a lot. The quarterbacks and wide receivers need to be on the same page at all times. And, you know, we're not just going out there and just throwing random routes. We're you know, using our signals each day. We're trying to communicate with each other. And that so far things have gone really, really well. And, you know, hopefully we can put it all together in come camp time.
When you were up in Scranton in high school and you're going through your junior and senior years, what were your dreams? What were your dreams then about what you would hope when you were a junior and senior in high school about the next level?
You know, you definitely, you know, one day, you know, I'd be lying if I was just a regular high school kid. You wanted to play, you know, obviously professional with football, baseball, or basketball, whatever it would be. And, you know, that's something you definitely did think about. But in high school, I kind of, to be honest with you, didn't have time to stop and think where I was headed with my college career or anything like that. I went from football, and, you know, 2 days after we lost in football, I was playing in basketball games. And, you know, once our basketball run ended, I went right to baseball. So I kind of didn't, you know, stop to think about where I was headed. I kind of just enjoyed, you know, playing different sports. And so, I mean, but when it ended, I was kind of, like, when it started to get close, I kind of needed to make some decisions here, which I really hadn't had to do before. So it was definitely difficult there towards the end.
What was it like for you? I've always found that guys that play multiple sports is such a great, well-rounded experience for them. What did you get out of the other sports that actually, and even as a competitor, what did you get out of the other sports that actually helped you in your football career?
Well, it definitely makes you a better athlete. You know, you're doing a football workout, then you move into basketball, you're doing basketball workouts, and then you're going right into baseball, and you're doing different things for baseball. So it makes you overall just a better athlete. But at the same time, you're understanding you're working with different coaches, you're working with different players and different kids that have different attitudes. So, you know, you're not only, you know, you have to adjust to the game, but you also have to adjust to the attitudes that are associated with the game. So it kind of, you know, prepared me for, you know, different coaches, different types of players, and that's something I'm very fortunate that, you know, I was able to do in high school, and it's definitely, you know, made me a better player because of it.
You came here as a walk-on, and you've had to earn everything that you've been able to get along the way. Being a walk-on in the end, mentally, what was the benefit of being a walk-on, even though initially, mentally, it's not easy?
It was definitely frustrating. You know, there were times that where, you know, you kind of realize that things weren't going to work out. And my mother always told me that, you know, to stay focused and that God works with a crooked stick. And that's something I really never forgot. And
I can hear your mother saying that, right, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, if it wasn't for my mother, my father, and my brothers, that I kind of may not have been in this position that I'm in today. I kind of was for them that I kind of just stuck it out. And I kind of just didn't want to go back home with, you know, my tail between my legs. I didn't want to let other people win. I kind of just wanted to buckle down and prove that I was capable of being a starter for Penn State.
You also know that when you get to camp, you're going to have to earn it every day. Give us the idea, the mentality of knowing, because you have two excellent quarterbacks, and Shane's right there too, and Paul and Rob, and you have great respect for all of them, but you know that you have to earn it every day. What kind of mental edge does that give you, knowing you have to earn it every day?
It's exciting for me. I mean, knowing that you're the guy, you know, but at the same time, you can lose it at any second. And, you know, especially with Coach O'Brien, you know, I mean, for myself, I want to go out there and I want to just absolutely put on a show during our camp. I want to, you know, not only make him feel comfortable, but make all the coaches and all the players feel comfortable knowing that, hey, this is our guy. He made the right decision. There's no turning back. There's no other guy we want in that position. You know, he runs the offense well. He makes the right reads. He makes the right plays. You know, he's not trying to do too much. And he's a leader. And he can lead this team. And all I want is for them to see that and to have their respect on the field.
Knowing that for most of the time, not every time, but most of the time, that number 25 is lining up behind you, is in some ways, is he a quarterback's best friend?
Absolutely. I mean, Silas is such a rare athlete to have. I mean, you don't come across a running back like him too often. He's a great person as well, but in football terms, you know, he's kind of, you know, the guy that, you know, if, you know, I can't look for somebody downfield or anything like that, he's, you know, always in the back of my head, like, dump it off to Silas. You know, he's worked so much. He's come such a long way on catching a football that he's going to be, you know, such a major threat for us on running the ball and catching, especially in this offense.
Coach O'Brien has made the decision that they'll have game captains along the way. In other words, a lot of players will have to assume the mantle of leadership. When you look on this team, especially as you go through these summer workouts where leadership manifests itself, I mean, leadership manifests itself in the summer workouts when the coaches aren't around. What kind of leadership do you see on this football team from your fellow seniors?
Oh, each senior we have has truly stepped up and been that guy that we owe at different times. You know, I can't just sit here and name, you know, three guys that are just the clear-cut leaders of this team. That's not how it works for us. You know, Coach O'Brien is doing the right thing and naming a captain or different captains for each game, because we have so many leaders on this team that it's hard to just pick a couple of guys. You know, so many guys have, you know, that respect that they deserve, you know, to be a captain either one game or a few games. And, you know, it's so much like we become such a family because of it, that you know, it's something you don't come across too often, and it's really great to see.
Gauge the attitude of this football team at this stage, especially with your senior year coming up. What do you see in your teammates as you get ready for camp and the excitement for the upcoming season?
Well, we're definitely on a mission. Each day has been better than the past day. We're not looking into the past, but we're building and we're getting better each and every day. It's hard for me to sit here and, you know, think of one day where we took a step back. Maybe we're not, you know, getting a lot of credit or the credit we deserve, but, you know, people don't think we're going to beat a lot of teams, but we're not going to be surprised if we go out there and beat those teams. We're putting in so much work. I'm not going to say here that we're working harder, you know, or we're working the best. We're beating everybody in the country, but we're gonna be in those games, and we're gonna have the opportunity to win all those games, and that's happening because of right now. This team is working so hard after 6 weeks, and hopefully we don't, you know, take a step back, and we can continue to build on it right up into camp and right up into Ohio.
But then again, isn't that a microcosm of you? Never really given a lot of credit.
absolutely. Yep.
All right. Hey, Matt, thanks so much for the time you gave us today. Appreciate that. If you could hold off on taking my job for a period of time, I would greatly appreciate that, because I really do like this job.
No problem, yeah.
Okay. Matt McGloin, starting quarterback for the Nittany Lions, joining us here on WKOK on the Lenape Solar Hotline. We'll come back with more after this. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on WKOK.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you can make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to our planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives. Professional, certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-286.
1496. Visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Welcome back to the show. Again, we apologize for the shabby guest list.
Yeah, can you step it up a little bit and give us less information, please?
Yeah, the starting quarterback would be of some interest. If you want, we can make it really interesting, get the backup on. Let's see, our number 1-800-795-9565. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is the weekend and time to hit the beverage supermarket. Back to the Little Leaguer for a moment.
Okay.
Again, we sympathize with the broken orbital bone. We sympathize with the pain and suffering. But he's 11. He's a Little Leaguer. It wasn't deliberate or malicious.
So I think the lawsuit was seeking more than $150,000 in damages to cover medical costs stemming from the incident 2 years ago, and also seeking an undefined amount for pain and suffering. So it could even be more. It could be more than 150.
And again, I sympathize with the pain and suffering and the surgery she's been through.
Absolutely.
I completely sympathize with the fact that she's struggling with her insurance company.
No question.
Right? But you don't sue the kid. He didn't do anything wrong.
It's like I said earlier, do you sue the Major League Baseball player who didn't have enough pine tar on his bat and loses in the stands and hits somebody? I mean, it's a horrible thing. It's a terrible thing to have happen. But I agree with you. It is part of the risk when you go to a game or an event that you're not going to be 100% protected. And Major League Baseball, as you mentioned, you and I were talking about during the break, stamps it on the back of your ticket.
I mean, everything today is about liability. Pick up any package in the store, right? Don't eat nut whole and swallow. What? I mean, everything. I mean, exactly. They are now on packages. You know, I mean, there was the one where they showed the guy going down the mountain in the Subaru or whatever it was. Don't try.
Yeah, don't attempt.
Really?
This.
My
favorite is when you get a cup of coffee somewhere and it says contents can be extremely hot.
But that is the offshoot of the McDonald's lawsuit where the woman so badly burned her legs. She scalded herself. And that's the offshoot of that.
And they don't even put iced coffee in that same container, so you can't use that as an argument.
No, but I'm saying, but that's what the they put it on coffee now. That's an offshoot of that lawsuit because everybody's trying to protect themselves.
When you buy a car,
because too many people without common sense. I mean, I know there's a picnic table there. I can understand her sitting at the picnic table. I got it. Okay, you got hit by a ball. I got it. You got hurt. I got it. Guess what? It's not a suable thing. He's 11.
Now, if he picked up the ball and winged it at her, then that's a different story.
Oh, if he picked up and deliberately tried to pick her off. Okay? That's a completely different story at that stage.
When you wake up every morning, you now have to sign a waiver that you could get hurt by leaving bed.
Well, I mean, you wanted Mariano Rivera to sign a waiver. Our number 1-800-795-9565. We'll talk about too many clubs in the bag at a tournament in Europe.
Is that a suable offense?
No, I'll tell you what the caddy tried to do with it.